Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am super excited today. I have one of my dearest friends, who no one watching this is going to need me to introduce her, right? I should ask Sherry to introduce me, but of course, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And I want to open up, and I just want to make a few kind of introductory things, right? Like I said, you don't need me to tell you who she is. I mean, we're talking to the mama of health freedom, right? The originator of the whole movement. And, you know, Sherry's become such a dear friend to me. And I want to tell you guys, if you follow me, if you like my work, if you care about anything I've done, right, you've got to understand where I started. So in 2020, when I started, you know, I'm pissed off because there's lockdowns. I'm pissed off because they're taking our rights. I'm pissed off about all this stuff. I had no background in health freedom. I still thought vaccines were safe and effective. I had no idea what was going on. And the idea of health freedom as a movement was completely foreign to me, right? Now, I learned quick, and I started fighting immediately in 2020. But I learned quick, and I started fighting because I met people like Sherry. Sherry was one of the foundational pieces of the very first lawsuit that I did, which probably did more. The first lawsuit I filed was in September of 2020. That lawsuit did more to damage the COVID narrative than any other thing that's been done since the beginning, right? It was the first time that we saw truth. It was the first time that people saw a lot of this. And I did that lawsuit absolutely in no small part thanks to Sherry. Sherry provided expert testimony. She provided guidance. She provided resources. Anything that I've been able to do, you know, and I'm quite proud of the work that we've done, and we've done a lot of it. But it was built on the shoulders of giants, and Sherry is one of those giants that did this. So, you know, I mean, to me, Sherry, thank you. You know, I mean, when we look back, before Bobby Kennedy did this, you did this. Before I did this, you did this. Before anybody did this, you did this. You were the original. You were the person who really started to see, you know, the dangers of these vaccines, and you've been pushing it since the early 2000s. And it's not, and just so that everybody's clear here, when I started, I was pro-vaccine. Then I learned, you know, from Sherry and from others and started doing my own research, the COVID vaccines were going to be what they are, you know, deadly killing machines. And then I continued to spend time with Sherry and others. And now, I mean, I got to be honest, I wouldn't give my child a vaccine if someone held a gun to my head. So, you know, I recognize the dangers of autism, the dangers that these present in everything. I mean, they just destroy your health. So all of that, thanks in no small part to the true founder of the health freedom movement in my mind, my dear friend, Sherry. How are you, Sherry?
I'm good, Tom, but I do want to say that we all stand on the shoulders of giants, right? I mean, when I started getting in the, in September of 2000, when I first started getting into this, it was thanks to Barbara Lowe Fisher, you know, and everything that they had done with the National Vaccine Information Center. And another name that doesn't come up very often, but was a great mentor to me early on, was Ingrid Cassell of Vaccine Liberation, you know, and her husband, who was the editor for the Idaho Observer. You know, I called them a lot and had lots of conversations with them early on, like back in 2000. And they were really, really good friends and really good mentors. And between Barbara and Ingrid, you know, and then I, you know, kind of went off on my own and did my own thing. But it got started because I went to the, in September of 2000, I went to the National Vaccine Information Center in Washington, D.C. in September of 2000. It came as a flyer in the mail. It was like just a simple trifold flyer on gray paper about the color of your shirt. And every time I went to try to throw it away, I just couldn't get it off my counter. And I thought, I even called them and said, when is your next conference? Because this is a really inconvenient time for me to come to DC. And they said, well, we're just a small nonprofit. We may never do another conference. It's like, well, darn it. I guess, and I was single at the time, so I said, there must be somebody there I'm supposed to go meet. Well, what the somebody was turned out to be something that was turned out to be a lifetime destiny, because I've been doing this now for, you know, almost 24 years. And so, you know, knowing with that background, because I'd done all those tens of thousands of hours of research on all the problems associated with the childhood vaccines. So when the COVID vaccine came up, it was just a lateral step. It's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Because I've had, you know, 15 years of experience talking about this other stuff. So it was a real easy rollover for me to get into the EAU and the myth of the mask and the fraud of the testing, and then all of the nonsense of these bioweapons that we've done. So, and then somewhere along the line, I'm not sure exactly where it was, where you and I met. And actually, you came over to my house. We sat at my dining room table and you said, you know, somebody told me I needed to talk to you about this stuff. They're trying to get me involved with it. I don't know much about it. You know, can we have a conversation? And you drove over to my house. It's about an hour and a half drive, just for the listeners that know. And we sat at my dining room table for an hour or more. And that was the first place that we got started, and then had lots of conversations after that.
Well, for anybody that doesn't know, so when you do what we do, and as your name starts getting out there, a lot of people want to talk to you. They want to hear this. They want to hear that. And it's always very flattering, but it gets hard. It gets hard. And there's a difference between, you know, when you're walking down the street, and I always try and be kind to everybody. And I know Sherry does as well. But and when you get to actually sit down and have dinner with someone or spend some quality time. And I just want to tell you guys, Sherry is as kind and as sweet and as wonderful in person when you know her as a friend, as you see her, you know, on all of her interviews, on all of her stuff. She really is behind the scenes. When you know Sherry as a human being, she is 100% God, 100% integrity. I mean, just one of the best people Sherry's one of the few people in this fight she's actually met my kids. She's met my family. She's truly a friend to me. It's not a secondary thing. You know, I mean, she's actually had dinner with my boys and I, that's a huge deal. You know, there's a few people that I trust that I would do that with. But it's a pretty rare thing. So, you know, Sherry really is what she says and what you see. And, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about the history of this health freedom movement, you know, we're at a point now where God bless Peter McCullough, God bless, you know, Bobby Kennedy, God bless all of these people that are doing all these things. And Bobby was there before me. So, I mean, God bless, you know, congratulate, God bless him and Children's Health Defense for all they've done. All this and other, but we have to recognize the history of this, right? When we see the people out there that are now starting to finally recognize the dangers of vaccines and what's going on there, the corruption that is our government pharma complex, and all these different things. One of the things that I don't think we do enough of, and I really kind of want to stress, is the importance of recognizing the people who made that possible. All of this stuff that we did in COVID, right? All of that was built on a foundation of research and effort that was, you know, 20, 30 years in the making, right? Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of experts, and, you know, Sherry cited some of the people that got her going, right? The work that was done, the reason that we were able to resist COVID and the lies that were COVID and the lies that are, and what you're seeing now with this huge national and international health freedom movement, they all were built upon the foundation that Sherry and all these people had structured. So, you know, I love my friends, my McCulloughs, my Kirsches, my, you know, these guys who are out there doing all these different things, promoting this concept now, but we can never forget all the media that we're getting, all the attention we're getting, all of this started from the Sherry Tenpennies of this world.
Well, so I would agree with you a little bit on that, Tom, is like, you know, because people said, how did you know so early? Because COVID, you know, kind of blasted across the scene in March of 2020. I would say by April of 2020, I was already doing a lot of podcasts talking about the problems that were coming and why. And they said, well, how did you know so early? Because I really, truly was one of the very first people that started talking about the problems. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go into fear mode like the whole rest of the world did, because I don't live from a fear-based place. And like I said, it was because I'd already been doing this stuff for so long. I already knew about the fraud. I already knew about the lies. I already knew about how they covered stuff up with that childhood vaccination program. I've been talking about that for, you know, more than a decade.
Yeah.
So it was just pretty obvious. It's like, okay, what kind of stunt are they pulling on us this time? Which it's been more than a stunt. It's been deadly.
And,
you know, but it's been interesting to me that as we rolled through this, through the rest of 20 and then 21 and 22 and 23, you know, when I see all the people, like, you know, all the people that are all over the stage, and like, I was the first one. No, you weren't. You started out as a pro-vaccine guy. Don't tell me that, you know, that you started out, you know, like we've been doing all of this different stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I take issue with a little bit, Tom, and I think that we need to do better in this health freedom movement, what's left of it is, or what part of it is what I've been screaming about this since about 2010, is that all of us need to work together. We need to realize that the bad guys are over there. And we all need to be focusing on the bad guys instead of shooting each other in the back and cutting each other down and doing all these things where you've got this friendly fire. You know, I say all the time, you know, when you're the lead dog, you expect bullets in the chest and arrows in the back. The bullets in the chest are the enemies. You get that. But the arrows in the back are the friendly fire, people that are trying to take you out for different things. And if all along, and I've been saying this, I'm serious, since about 2005, probably, maybe at least since 2010. If we did just some simple things in our community, like name drop, you know, like, you know, I was on so-and-so's show, or I heard so-and-so say this or that, or I read the paper by whomever. And then it would give the whole perception that we were in unity, and it would magnify and make us look 10 times bigger than what we really are. Yeah. Because each person wants to do their little silo thing. And what I've said for a long time, everybody wants to be the prom queen. I'm the greatest. I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who set everybody straight. My articles were the one. I was the one that stopped this. It was all about me. So everybody wants to be in their little silo. So it's like, suddenly when you're in your silo, it makes it seem like nobody else counts and nobody else matters. If we all did this in unity and did it as simply just by name dropping, like, I can't tell you, even at this late date, you know, this late date, 24 years into this, Tom, I still have people that come up to me and say, have you ever heard of Barbara Lou Fisher? Do you have any idea who you know, Del Bigtree is? Have you ever heard? Do you ever heard of Del? It's like, so we have a problem that we don't present a unified front. You know, it's like, you know, Bobby Kennedy. Yeah, I've known Bobby for a decade.
Well, Bobby learned what he learned from you.
You know, I've been on Del's show countless times. You know, it's like, but people. So because we don't name drop.
We don't promote each other.
Yes, that's what I mean by name dropping, is that the community, the people that are our audience that we're talking to, don't have a sense that we are unified and we are all doing this together. Now, we may be doing things individually and doing our own podcast or own show or whatever, but collectively, we are going in a direction, because over there is the bad guy. And so it just is never ceases to amaze me when people come up and, or will send me, like, I got a text message 2 days ago that somebody said, that's a longstanding friend, said, have you ever heard of Stu Peters? You know, and it's like, like, seriously, Stu and I are friends. I've been on his show. He's been on my show. It's like, but that's the problem. People, we don't cross promote. And so the community doesn't get a sense of unity within our movement. And it makes me sad. Makes me sad.
Well, it's a shame. There is no human unity. I mean, there's a little bit, right?
Right.
I mean, I get a lot of, Renz, how can you talk to that guy? Why aren't you saying something about that guy? And my response is always, listen, I got a group of monsters out there that are making money off of murdering children.
Yes.
If you can tell me that this other guy, you know, who's doing something that he's a little self-interested, but he's still pushing the ball down the field towards health freedom, why am I going to waste my time attacking someone who may not be a purist when I've got someone who's trying to kill me? And, you know, then you get the other, we get these, I'll tell you one of them that drives me nuts. Oh, I broke it first. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. For anybody who says I broke it first. So first of all, with regards to COVID, the first three people I know to break everything on COVID are you, I, and Pam Popper. Mm-hmm. We, in the initial lawsuits and in the initial things in early 2020, broke more truth on COVID. And I still see headlines like we just found this out from things that I proved in my first lawsuit in 2020, and they'll go viral. So, I mean, and I'm going to tell you right now, I may have been spot on that because God had a similar path to you and I. I mean, I started speaking in April and May on this COVID stuff, just like you did, because I had been working on that my master's program in it. But there on COVID, there was no before you and I. There just wasn't. You couldn't be before because we started literally the first day that they talked about lockdowns, I was fighting. So there's that. But the other thing is so what? Because what I built, what I did in COVID couldn't have been done without what you, and I'll give credit to Bobby, okay? Because Bobby was way before me on health freedom. Now, he wasn't as early as you, but he was way before me. So there were a few people that I'll give a high five to for being there first. But you know what? I don't care because since then, so for example, a guy that I absolutely love, Dr. McCullough, Peter that guy is brilliant. And he has successfully made this platform explode. And I'm super proud that he's done that. That was always one of my goals, was to see this win. We win because other people excel and make it bigger. So I'm very proud that he did that. You know, but there's a lot of people who have contributed to making this mainstream, making it something that people recognize. And we've got to be grateful for that. So yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all the people that have done all the stuff. And none of this is about, someone should be getting more credit. If anybody should be getting more credit, it should be you and Bobby and some of the people that did this initially. But I will tell you that the circular firing squad, the me thing, it just makes me want to throw up a little bit. I don't know why it's done. And
I'm the same way. I don't think anybody really should be it's all about me. No. It really should be, it's all about us. Everybody contributed their piece, and we're all trying to move the ball down the court, down the field, because the bad guy's over there. And if we don't collectively move the ball down the field, everybody's done their thing, like mentioning Stu Peters, you know, the thing that he did with his films, and what Brian Artis has done, and, you know, different people have done a lot of different things. But if we as a community would give, just acknowledge other people's work, it would give the impression to the general public a whole lot more that we are unified. Because I get that sometimes too. Have you ever heard of Brian Artis? Are you kidding me? Brian's one of my closest friends. He's a really good friend. It's like, I mean, and so I don't blame the person who asked that question. I blame our community for not showing more of a unified front.
Well, I agree.
We've had people reach out and say, because I collect emails from our website, you know, tomrens.com, and there are people who've many times said, does Tom know about Dr. Sherry Tenpenny? Does he? And so I a lot of times like to tell people, and I just want to say real quick and then I'll shut up, but the work that you did together in the initial COVID lawsuits that Tom, you know, filed with Pam Popper, I mean, a lot of that was your research, the mask research and things that you did. I still always source that when people... When I say things like masks don't work, I go, read this. And it's your work, Dr. Tenpenny. Yeah. I mean, you guys were working together. So that's something that I like people to know, is how close you guys were on those suits and that research.
And like the idea that all these things are still coming out, it's like, well, I did this huge webinar. It was really big. We had thousands of people that attended this webinar of the 40 mechanisms of injury that now Mike Adams is actually repurposing and getting it out to people, because COVID's not over. No. People would like to have, would like to say, okay, nobody's getting sick. We're not locked down. I don't have to wear a mask. It's behind us. Let's move forward. But that's really not the way it is. And so Mike took my 40 mechanism of injuries course and repurposed it and kind of chopped it up a little bit. And we put his out to the general public, kind of like how Truth About Cancer does their, you know, series. And then at the end, you could buy the whole collection together. And so, because it's not over. And, you know, it's so interesting because I did that, the 40 Mechanisms of Injury webinar in July of 21. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, and now we're continuing to see there's over 1,000 research articles that have been published showing all those things that I talked about in July of 21. And like you said, Tom, it's like everybody's like, oh, look at this hot new brand new thing we just discovered. Yeah. No, it's been out there for 3 years.
I remember when you did that. I mean, it was way ahead of its time. And, they're still figuring out what you said 3 years ago. it's an interesting thing. As a matter of housekeeping, because I know this is going to come up, a lot of people are very, very interested. And because my crew is involved in doing some lawyering for Sherry, I want to give everybody an update on her, you know, the situation with her license. We are continuing to work on that situation. And I know y'all are eager for a big update. I know because every time I mention Sherry, I get 50 messages about, hey, can you, what's going on with her cases and what's going on with this? I'm expecting that we're going to have a pretty big announcement that we'll be able to make sometime in April. I can't promise that yet because we are always at the mercy of the system on this to an extent. You know, a lawyer can interact with and work the system, but a lawyer can't control the system. Mm. So we're working on that, and I expect that we're going to have a very big announcement. But for right now, what I can tell you is that Sherry and our crew are working together. I feel like things are moving. And as I remain optimistic that we will get to where we need to be with Sherry's situation in the not too distant future. And beyond that, we just understand something. A lot of people are used to the idea that in this world, everything has become reality TV. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks that they should be able to know everything yesterday. That isn't the way that the law works. There are some cases that I do that are inherently very, very public. Sherry's, we are going as public as we can with as much as we can where it's appropriate, right? Some parts of this are not appropriate to be made public. So we're not doing that. And we always have a duty to first do right by Sherry. So when I'm not being a media guy, when I'm being a lawyer, our first and only duty is to our client. And that's the way that's got to be, right? So you got to understand that my job when I'm not sitting here in front of a camera is completely different than my job when I am in front of a camera. And advocacy in front of a court or in front of a tribunal or an administrative body or any of these agencies or any of these things, that's completely different than what we do here. So we will have some big updates, I'm hoping, next month. And I'm hoping we'll be able to twist Sherry's arm into coming back because, you know, when Sherry's here, we actually get views. but, you know, there's people actually watching because Sherry's here, right? We will be doing that. And there will be some, I think it'll be a pretty big update in April. It should be a pretty big deal. But, you know, like I said, we can't say a whole lot more than that. But please do continue to support Sherry on that. I'm not actually sure what if she's still raising funds or doing anything, but if you can, please support Sherry in anything you can do. And one of the things that you can do, is let me show you this, Sherry's book, Walking with God. That's out right now. And you can get it at drtenpenny.com. We're going to actually start selling that on tomrenz.com as well, which if you're not supporting tomrenz.com, please go there, support us, share the show, share the America Out Loud Network.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Let me make a quick comment about the books. You know, we can talk if you want a little bit more about ECP, but it's not just local people. We've had people from the clinic here in Ohio from about 14 or 15 different states.
Oh, wow.
That people come in and they stay 2 to 2.5 weeks and they can do 2 or 3 treatments a day. And it improves circulation, because when you improve circulation and improve lymphatics, you get a whole bunch of health things that resolve. And right. So the ECP machines are, they put like oversized big blood pressure cups around each calf, each thigh, and around your lower abdomen with a 3-lead EKG that goes to your chest. So your heart pumps, then the cuffs pump, then the hearts pump, then the cuffs. And it kind of sounds like that. When you're on the machine, it kind of sounds like ta-tunk, ta-tunk, ta-tunk. It's very hypnotic. It feels like a deep tissue massage. It's very hypnotic. And when I go in and get my treatments, I most generally fall asleep because it's kind of that hypnotic, you know, methodical sort of thing. So we hope that you come if you're here local in Cleveland, around Cleveland or around Ventura, California, but you don't have to be local. You just have to come in and the full treatment course is at a minimum 10 treatments. You have to do a minimum of 10 treatments to really see the benefit. But, you know, the full course is about 30 to 34 treatments.
Well, and one of the things that I want people to understand, so the ECP is a wellness program. It's not about diagnosing or treating a specific disease or illness. What it is it's about being healthy. It's right. About being healthier. And this is really an important thing. And I want to distinguish this because this is one of the most interesting things that I've learned over the last few years is, you know, when we look at healthcare, healthcare is designed to treat, not cure, disease or illness after it's there, which is really, really the wrong way to do this, right? I mean, the idea is our current healthcare system is eat bad, drink too much, get into whatever you're going to get into, and then when you get sick, we'll give you something that'll treat the problem but won't actually cure it and won't fix the issue, right? The health and wellness approach to healthcare is a totally different animal. A lot of chiropractors push it. There are some practitioners, some doctors, DOs, MDs, that are pushing it now. You know, people like Sherry are always ahead of the curve, and so she recognizes it. And, you know, what this is about is, instead of putting you on a pill because you keep making bad life decisions and you've gotten unhealthy and you need to use a big pharma drug that's going to make you even unhealthier to deal with an illness, let's take steps to keep ourselves healthier, to prevent these illnesses from occurring, to save us from needing a heart stent, from save us from needing blood pressure medication. And so things like ECP, and, you know, I mean, obviously I'm not a doctor, but things like ECP seem to have a pretty massive impact in making people feel better and stay healthier and things like that. So, I mean, this is a really kind of a cool program, and I love that you got these clinics, and I hope people are supporting it. And for anybody that's not aware of it, I mean, you know, Sherry has for years practiced as a DO and, you know, treated people as a DO. And, you know, this is on the wellness side. It's separate from her medical practice. This is about making so you don't need her medical practice, right? And that's really, that's also a testament, I think, to her integrity, because a lot of healthcare is based on, well, we need to keep you sick because that's how we make money, right? So if you think about healthcare, that's what, I mean, do you guys remember, for those of us old enough to remember the 80s and 90s, which might just be me on this call. But for those of us old enough to remember, you know, I remember they used to want to cure cancer. They would raise money to cure cancer. They don't talk about curing cancer anymore. They want to find new treatments for cancer.
Tom, I'm old enough to remember. I'm older than you, my friend.
You just look younger.
I'm old enough to remember. I mean, I decided when I was 4 years old, I wanted to be a physician. So it's something I wanted to do my whole life. I remember walking around when I was a four-year-old and telling my parents' friends, like, you know, I'm going to be a doctor someday, you know, when I grow up. And so when I really have a memory of that, of when I was 4 years old. I really do. And I'm old enough to remember the television commercials that said about cancer. They said, find the cure, identify the cause. And that was like the big thing then, identify, they were looking for all the causes. And then when they turned over the magpies and they found out that the causes were bad diet, food additives, pesticides, chemicals, then they couldn't go for the cause anymore because the cause was driving our economy with fast foods and, you know, glyphosate that came out in the 70s and all these different things. So they went away from looking for the cause of parasites and looking for chemical laden things and all that stuff. And now it became, let's find the treatment, the next treatment. So, you know, a whole underlying the whole underlying thing for cancer is no longer how did I get this and why. Now, and if the patient asks that question, what's the first thing the doctor says? It's your genes. It's all about your genetics. It has nothing to do with that you eat junk food day in and day out, three meals a day. It has nothing to do with you smoke and don't exercise and drink way too much and all that stuff.
But you know what, Sherry? I mean, you can disagree with me if you want. But it's actually not entirely untrue. This is what they do. They tell a half-truth. It is your genetics, but your genetics are damaged because of the crap you're putting in your body that damages them, right? God made you perfect. You came out into this polluted hellhole of a world, and your genes immediately start getting screwed with. And that is now being taken to a whole nother level with these gene therapy poisons that they're trying to use, which will guarantee you to be permanently sick and permanently dependent on big pharma.
100%. And now with all the stuff that they're doing with our food, and they're now manipulating all the different things in the food. I'm listening to a big seminar that was in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and I bought the online version of it. And I did that on purpose so that I could watch it in my schedule. And also, you can watch it at your own speed. And if you find something really interesting or there's a slide you want to look at, you can stop it and take a closer look that you can't really do in real time. No. But just, I'm through about maybe 10% of the seminar, and it's already jaw dropping of what they're already. This is future tech on and agriculture, future tech. It's called Future Food. It was the second seminar of what they are planning to do genetically modifying using CRISPR and CD9 technologies, and all the vaccinations that they're going to be putting in foods. I mean, there's already 26 vaccines for fish. There's 300 vaccines for cattle. I mean, it's going to be a much, you know, we think we know the answer to that solution, that what's going on right now. What we know as a general public is about 10% of it. And the FDA people that I heard talk so far at this seminar, they're all talking about fast tracking everything.
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, so what's occurred is, you know, I mean, listen, this isn't hard. You can look at Agenda 2030. You can see the Great Reset. You can see what people are doing. And what's occurred is they didn't expect the fight that came from the COVID jabs, right? They didn't expect that. And so they had always planned on putting this stuff in food, but they had to fast track it because of the fight back on COVID. And now the bad reputation that any sort of an injection has, which is deserved. So they've moved to food. And I know that this is a shock for them because they didn't know that we were going to catch us. So when we did the bill last year and we did all this stuff talking about the mRNA poisons in the food and the gene therapies in the food, you know, that was completely viral. And the reason it was viral is they didn't want anybody to know that they were doing this. But they are. And it's one of the most profound and major issues out there. We have got to make sure that people know everything that they're doing in these shots, they can do through your food. And they can do it worse. And that's what they're planning.
Yeah, they've just introduced a bill. And I learned about this by listening to this seminar. Again, this is one of the reasons I wanted to introduce this. They introduced it in 2030, but now they're really going to push it through 2024. It's called you may know about this, Tom, but your audience may not. It's called the Innovative Feed Act. And they're talking about putting all these synthetic additives into food. And right now they're in the discussion of whether they should call these additives a chemical or they should call these additives a drug and should be under the regulation of the FDA versus the USDA. And this is all these innovative manipulated. There was a big section that I've just started listening to about mRNA vaccines. I mean, they already use it in pigs. It's in experimentation for all the other animal husbandry. And they made a really big deal at the seminar about squashing all the disinformation about how dangerous these mRNA vaccines were and why it was so unnecessary to put them into food and to put them into plants. Yep. And so I signed up for this seminar because it's one of the two other new books that I'm working on. You know, I just finished this book. I got to finish book two. I'm working on one about what's happening to our food. And I'm also working on one called Me and My Brain about the stroke that I had. You know, the Me and My Brain and the subtitle in that one. It's Me and My Brain and the subtitle is Lessons from the Bench. Yeah. And it's sort of a combination medical and spirit, you know, like the journey that I was on, the things that I've learned, the things I'm going to do going forward with taking care of brain health and taking care of things from a different perspective, from a medical perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective. What do you learn, you know, when you get sat on your butt? You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I remember my mom saying to me from the time I was little, she said, you know, sometimes God puts you flat on your back to get you to look up. Oh. And, you know, so lessons from the bench are sort of, you know, what do you learn when you go through a life altering event, medical event? You know, now we can go through a lot of life altering events. If somebody dies or your house burns down or you get fired from your job. I mean, there's lots of major life altering events, but when it's a physical health thing, what do you learn from lessons on the bench? So that's one of the reasons I signed up for this seminar, because I'm really working on, I'm finding out some incredible things, digging through some of this stuff, things that I've never seen anywhere anybody else really talk about. And the reason I'm doing this is because I don't want to scare people. I mean, a couple of people I've talked to about things, they're like, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to eat again. Well, at the end of each one of the chapters are solutions. Like you can't fix it if you don't know about it. So here's what's happening, and now here's what you can do about it, you know, at the end of the chapter, so that we can get people, you know, in activated to be able to do things about saving our food and our world. I mean, they're vaccinating honeybees now. You know, it was Einstein who said, when the honeybees go away, it's you've got 4 years till the world's gone, because there will be no food. And now, and I just reread again about 2 nights ago, this whole vaccine for the honeybees. It's, they put it in their food. And it's not like they're going to inject each one of these little bees, but it's worse than that because it's all out there so the bees can eat it. About 50% of the queens died. 50% of the queens that were in the hives died. And it was in another study that they did, 7 out of 10 of the queens died. So if the queens die, then the workers' bees die, and, you know, we lose all of our bees. So it's a horrible, horrible thing that's happening right now. So supporting what Tom's doing and continuing to support the legal front and all the things he's doing, continue to support people who are uncovering things and things you should know, and taking better care of your health. And that's the other one of the lessons from the bench is, if we took better care of ourselves on the front end, we wouldn't have to go through this recovery process on the back end. You know, we think we're too busy to take care of ourselves. Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, it takes you 10 times more time and 20 times more money to take care of yourself and fix yourself after you're broken than it would have taken if you would have done it on the front end.
You know?
So we get one of these, you know, we get one of these things called a body. That's it. You know, you get multiple houses, multiple cars, sometimes multiple spouses. You know, you get all kinds of things like that. But you get one of these.
God help us.
We need to take care of it.
Well, and I got to tell you, so for anybody that doesn't know the story, I was actually with Sherry when she was having the stroke. It was a very hard thing. You know, I truly do love Sherry like a sister. And you know, she's just one of my best friends out there. So yeah, it was a scary thing. But to see the way that you fought through that and you have recovered, it's remarkable. I mean, I really can't tell that you even had it.
It was 7 months ago today.
Yeah.
Today. And it was August the 29th. And I can tell your audience that the only, I would say maybe three things that I'm still working on, and I do a lot of therapy every day. I do a lot of exercises. I'm determined that by August 29th of this year, everything will be gone. I'm just determined. And the only three things that I'm left with that I'm is a little bit of balance, a little bit of a balance thing, because I've still got a little bit of weakness in my left hamstring. So it's my left hamstring and my left ankle, which because of that, I have a little bit of balance issues. And I'm every day working to improve my stamina. And I've talked to a lot of people that have gone through stroke processes, and that's one of the biggest things that happens. And I think it's because, you know, the non-stroke part of your body, this part that was not affected, has to work overtime to compensate for the things that are damaged and are in recovery. So both of those things together just saps your energy. But I think what's really cool, and I want to say this to any of your listeners who may be struggling with health issues, as you go through a recovery process, whether you've been in an accident, you've been burned, you've broken a bone, you know, take the time on a regular basis to stop and turn around and look back at how far you've come, because it's just human nature to know how far you have to go yet. I mean, 3 months ago, I could not walk to the end of my driveway and get my mail without a cane and without coming back and having to lay down because I was so wiped out. Yeah. Now I can walk almost a mile and back with my dog, no cane, and I can drive and I can fly and I can do all sorts of things. So every day that I stop and look back, that gives me things to be thankful for. And thank you, Lord, because I know I did the physical work. I did it, but it was the thousands and thousands of prayers from all of my friends and family and supporters that lifted up my healing every day before the Lord, that, you know, I did the physical work and God did the rest.
Well, and you did do the work, though, but you've been a warrior about it, just like everything else in your life. And by the way, go to 10 Penny ECP, check that out. Check out Sherry's book, which we will be selling on TomRens.com. But right now you can get it at DrTenPenny.com.
And then what you're getting is the ebook version of it. You're getting the ebook version. The print version will be coming out probably in about 2 weeks, and you know, in about 2 weeks. But you can get it in the ebook version that you can look at it on your Kindle or, you know, in your iBooks and stuff like that. Or you can just read it as a PDF file.
Yep. So please get that. Also support us at TomRens.com, Tom Renz Show on the America Out Loud Network, and our Rumble, our X, all of our different channels. Just follow us everywhere. we want to get up to at least 5 followers. That's our goal for the week. I figure we've got it because Sherry's here, right? Sherry, I've been so proud of you, the way that you did this. I mean, because, you know, I don't think, you know, people don't understand. Stroke's a big deal. Mm. And, you know, for a woman like Sherry, who's just been out there running at 1,000 miles an hour and fighting, man, you get knocked down and you're asked to just sit there on the sideline for a minute. Well, you get your, you know, because there was never a time during this where I felt like your mind was hurt. Like, you were always sharp as a tack. Mm. But
mostly.
Well, you had a couple moments, but I mean, you were really, it was the physical, you just weren't capable of being as active as you were. And it was something as your friend.
That's kind of nicely. I mean, you didn't see me 5 days after that first day. I mean, I had complete paralysis on my left side. I couldn't lift, I couldn't move my hand. I couldn't lift my shoulder. I could walk stiff legged with a cane. And cause my balance was pretty bad at the beginning, and thank God for my two angels, you know, Tracy Straup and, Michelle Castleman, who came, the two naturopathic friends of mine from Pennsylvania, who dropped everything. And, you know, Michelle called them, and they dropped everything and came to my house and took care of me those first 2 weeks. Plus, I did ECP those first 2 weeks. No. I mean, because there's studies that were published that said that if you get on that ECP bed early on with an ischemic stroke, that you can have close to 100% recovery. Mm-hmm. And so I was at that ECP center twice a day, doing two-a-days, almost like the day after I had that the stroke got really bad. I had my staff come over and pick me up, and they'd take me to the center, and then they'd drive me back. Michelle Castleman, who came in, her whole thing is about healing with food. And she went through my house like a tornado, and anything that was not organic, anything that came in a box or a can or a bag, it went in the trash. And Tracy made me sit in the chair and get off the computer, and she fed me. She kept feeding me, like every 2 hours, she'd bring me something to eat and she'd bring me a handful of, I said, I am going to gain like 100 pounds sitting here eating all this food. And actually I lost 20 pounds. So it's taking out the pro-inflammatory stuff, eating the right stuff and a lot of calories of good stuff, and taking the right supplements. People now will say, oh, I don't want to take all those pills. They just can't choke down all those pills. Quite frankly, Tom, I don't have any empathy for that. I take 45 pills a day, and I'm in a system now where it's just part of my daily routine. You know, not 45 different supplements, but 45 pills. Three of them are medications, and everything else are supplements. So you've got to do, and like I said, on the back end, I mean, if I'd have taken better, I'll speak for myself. If I would have taken better care of myself on the front end, gotten more than 3 hours of sleep a night,
Are you dropping a hint there, Sherry?
Yes. You know, eating better, exercised a little bit more, taking at least a core set of supplements on a routine basis, you know, doing all the things that you know are the right things to do, not eating junk food because I was too lazy to eat good. Not that I couldn't afford it, but because I was too lazy to cook good food. It was so much. That's why they call it fast food, because it's junk, because it's handy. It's something quick when you're in the middle of things.
Yep.
So anybody listening to this, seriously, you know, make a New Year's resolution on Sunday, which is Easter, which is Resurrection Day, which is the start of a new life of Christ and a new life for all of us. It's a great day to make a resolution that you're going to sleep more, you're going to exercise more, you're going to eat, get clean out all the junk in your
cupboard. I do lots of exercise, and I eat pretty good. we have a running joke for you guys watching. It's not really a joke. There's some truth. There might be a little bit of truth to it.
There's a whole lot of truth to it.
Sherry regularly chastises me. I do work out 6 to 7 days a week, and I eat pretty clean generally. But I sometimes am a little short on sleep. And
Tom, you know, God's listening, and you can't tell lies. You need to tell the truth.
I don't do lies.
And he got really sick last week, Sherry. So you need to be yelling at him. He was sick, yeah, and I was like, I'm just really tired. It's weird.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. God's listening to you say, I may be short on sleep, when God knows you are absolutely like on negative numbers, running on fumes most of the time. Yeah. So all you listeners out there, keep sending him text messages. Did you sleep tonight? Did you sleep tonight?
Yes, Sherry. Thank you. That's what we need. I tell him too all the time. I'm like, Sherry's going to be upset with you.
It's all out of love. It's all out of love.
Now you guys all get to see, right? So like, wherever I go, I got wonderful, and they're all wonderful people, but I got so many wonderful people watching over me, but I'm in trouble everywhere, man. No matter where I go, I am just perpetually in trouble.
Well, I tell him every day, Sherry, I say, you're no good to me, dead Renz. We need you in the fight.
100%.
So please take care of yourself.
I told him that those very words just yesterday when I was talking.
Literally, I get tag teamed on these things. I just, you know, I'm minding my own business, fighting bad guys, swinging that axe, and just having a good old time. Hey, you aren't sleeping enough. Hey, you aren't. Well, I know, but there's bad guys out there, and someone's got to keep going. I mean, I figure every hour that I work is one more hour of nonsense that the bad guys have to deal with, so we just keep fighting, you know.
Yeah, but if you suddenly can put 0 hours into fighting the bad guy, then what does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what, I actually believe this. When this started, and I'm going to share this story. So when I first was getting to know Sherry, I'm gonna razz you a little bit here, Sherry. Sherry looks at my schedule and says, and watches what I'm doing. She says, "Renz, it's time to have a talk." And she sits me, and she has this talk with me. I'll never forget this, because it was the first time anybody actually really kind of cared about my well-being and this stuff. And Sherry says, "Listen, Tom, I see you fighting this. I've been doing this for a long time. And there's a couple things you got to know. One, the pace that you're trying to keep up is not sustainable. And two, you'll never see Anthony Fauci out of the government." Now, I'm proud to say that I helped to get rid of part two there. So I was right on that one. But part one, I will tell you, early on in this, man, I was worn out. And it was a shock to my system, because I went from being a normal human being to someone who literally works 24/7. On a cause that means more to me than anything, right? And a lot of people would ask me, "We don't know what we can do. What can we do? You can pray for me. I'll keep fighting. Just pray. I need God's back. I need God to have my back." And I'll never forget, pretty early on, someone said, "Well, you know what? You look tired. So we're going to pray that God gives you endurance." And that really stuck with me. And so a lot of people asked, what would I ask them to pray for? I said, well, strength and endurance. Because at the end of the day, we're going to win this not tomorrow. We're not going to win it because I'm special. We're going to win it because I stand strong for years, not weeks. We're going to win it because we're able to continue propping people up. We're going to win it because we're steadfast. We're going to win it because at the end of the day, God carries us through by giving us the strength to keep fighting so long that it's just not worth fighting anymore for the other side. And so a lot of people prayed. And I will tell you, I mean, all joking aside, you two ladies more than anybody know I put a lot of hours in. And I truly credit God for having been able to keep up even close, because the pace I've kept up isn't something that I think you should be able to do as a normal human being. I mean, I really do go pretty hard.
One of the things that I told you forgot to include in that statement was,
I might have abridged a few parts.
I said, "This is a marathon, it's not a sprint."
Yes, you did.
And so when you know when you're running a marathon, you even though you're if you're a front runner in running the marathon, you run at a pretty good clip, but you still pace yourself because you know you got, you know, 23 miles or something to run. It's a different type of energy than if you're running a 100-yard dash.
It is.
You know, and if you were running as full out speed at a 100-yard dash, you might be able to run 300 yards. You might be able to do a little bit more than that.
You're going
to
drop.
I think a lot of us in the beginning of the fight were hoping it was going to be a sprint, but people like you right away that have been in it for decades looked at all of us and said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. We're up against the devil. We're up against real evil here.
And there's so few of us in relationship to them. Exactly. I mean, they literally can work 24/7 because they've got 50 people that they can put on shifts.
Yeah.
You know, there's only us. Yeah. And so because there's only us, we have to pace ourselves differently.
Well, and I will tell you, but for Sherry, but for Andrea, but for all the people that have actually cared and kept me propped up, you know, I'm very proud and honored of the small role that I've played and what we've done. But I wouldn't have been, I 100% all credit to God, followed by the people who've kept me functional, because I just, it's so much bigger. That's why, you know, I say, going back to one of the things we talked about early on in this, when guys like McCullough and Harvey Risch and Ryan Cole and some of these, you know, very, very highly credentialed big shot research type guys, you know, got into this, and, you know, some of them have really kind of blossomed under the spotlight. I mean, that to me was a huge deal. Because it lightened, I don't want to say it lightened, it didn't diminish what I had to do. It just meant that the load was distributed across a larger group of people. And to me, that was always part of the goal. I don't really care who gets to the finish line first. I just care that we get there. And, you know, I'll keep doing my part. Sometimes it'll be big, sometimes it'll be small. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, supporting people like you, Sherry, you know, people like Peter, people like you pick your person. That's part of my job, and I'm honored to do that. And I'm grateful for all that you've done for me. I love and hope you keep yelling at me to go to sleep, because it you're right. I do need to take better care of myself. And someday I'll probably actually listen to you.
So Tom, I hate to cut this short, but I got to run.
We do too. We're late. We ran long.
And so thank you so much for promoting my book. Thank you for being a support. I'm going to continue to poke at you whenever I get the opportunity about getting more sleep. And thank you so much for all you and your team and everything you've done for my medical board issue. And I really am looking forward to hopefully next month coming back on your show, even if it's just for a short segment, to talk about what's actually going on.
We love you, Sherry. I look forward to talking to you very soon. And thank you. Thank you again. Please support Sherry, drtenpenny.com. Get her book. Support her everywhere you can. Support us at tomrems.com, the America Out Loud Network, our Rumble, our Twitter, our Substack, tomrems.substack.com. Help us get the word out and share this show. Everybody needs to see what kind of a... Sherry's character just needs to, we just need 10,000 more of her. So please share this, get it out. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you all.
Thank you so much, guys.